Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Marcy Shymoff. You may know her from the movie The Secret. She's also the author of Happy for No Reason, and now she's got a new book. Her latest book is Love for No Reason, Seven Doorways to a Life of Unconditional Love, which is just in time for Valentine's Day, but we're going to talk about what unconditional love really means. So welcome to the show, Marcy.
Thank you, Marie. Happy to be here with you.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to have you on the show. And my first question for you is that as you were writing the book, you suffered the loss of your mother and your marriage, which are two really big sources of love in your life. So how did that impact you while you were writing this book?
Well, it's funny, actually. That wasn't funny, by the way. But what's funny is that amongst authors, there's kind of a saying that watch out what you're going to write about because you're going to get tested in it. And that was absolutely the case for me. I mean, no sooner had I signed the contract on Love for No Reason than my husband and I decided to get divorced. And it was a very friendly, loving divorce. We're still dear, dear friends, but we just decided that we weren't best as life partners. And so that was challenging, even though it was very, you know, loving and friendly. It was still hard to let go. And then I had three dear friends pass away, and then my mother unexpectedly passed away. So I really did get to get tested in, you know, the question that I asked myself when I went to go write Love for No Reason is, can you love? Can you experience a state of love even in the midst of anything that's going on in your life, in the midst of loss, in the midst of financial challenges, in the midst of health challenges? And so I can honestly answer yes, you can, because I, as I was writing the book, I interviewed 150 what I call love luminaries. These are people who lived in this state of unconditional love, and I practiced what they told me to do, and it worked. And it's not that I didn't feel grief and sadness. Of course I did, but in the midst of all those challenges, I had a huge amount of resilience and a deep inner peace that was with me, you know, even with that, all that stuff going on. So that was, I can say, not only from the experience of the thousands of people who've read the book, and I can say from my own experience, it really works.
Yay. Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy, it's interesting because this topic of unconditional love has really been on my mind lately. It started the other day. I'm taking this class and we were doing a meditation, and the guy on the CD said, picture the face of someone who loves you unconditionally. And every face that I brought up, I was like, well, that person really loves me, but I don't know if it's unconditional, and I kept having to change faces, and it got to the point where I actually decided that the meditation was no longer helpful for me, and I got up and I left the room because I felt so saddened by the knowledge that nobody that was important to me, I felt, really loved me unconditionally. So
right.
What does unconditional love mean to you?
Oh, thank you for sharing that experience, because I think that you're very accurate. Most people are not able to love unconditionally. You know, it starts with, we have to, of course, love ourselves unconditionally first. And what it means is that we love ourselves and have compassion for ourselves no matter what, even if we don't like certain things. You know, we've been trained to think that we have to be mad at ourselves and beat ourselves up and you know, really judge ourselves harshly in order to change. And it's quite the opposite. Change of ourselves and change of other people really happens once we've accepted what is and loved, been able to embrace things the way they are. So the real first step is to love ourselves and to be able to you know, have that acceptance and compassion. And the reason that you couldn't come up with anybody that loved you unconditionally doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with them. We, as a society, don't know how to love ourselves unconditionally. We are incredibly judgmental. And so what I talk about in Love for No Reason is how you can raise what we call your love set point, which is your capacity to give and receive unconditional love. And when you raise your love set point, then you are able to be more loving towards others unconditionally and be able to receive it more from others as well.
Yay. Well, how, I mean, aside from reading the book, of course, and we want everyone to go out and get love for no reason, but in the meantime, what's one small step that listeners can take today to raise their love support?
Well, how about if I'm very, very practical, how about if we give three things that people can do today?
Fabulous.
You know, over the course of our time together. And let me first define what I mean by love for no reason. Love for no reason means living in a state of love that doesn't depend on a person, a situation, or a romantic partner. So it means that inner state of love that that stays with you no matter what's going on. And so let me start with this first practice that this is one that I learned from a group called the Institute of Heart Math. And they are the world's leading researchers on the heart and how it affects our happiness and our health as well. And according to them and many others, love is a physiological state. We can measure whether you're in the state of love, and one researcher calls it the love response, Dr. Eva Selhub. She's from Harvard. She dubs this the love response because when you're in this state of love, you have more love chemicals. You've got oxytocin and serotonin and endorphins. You also have different brain activity and different heart rhythms. So what this practice that I'm going to do with everybody right now is we'll move you from the stress response, which we all know what that is. We're stressed out most of the time, into the love response. And it's going to take a couple of minutes to do, and that's it. And at the end of this time, Marie, you're going to be my guinea pig, so I'm going to ask you how you feel at the end of this exercise, okay?
Okay.
Good. So you can do this whether, and I invite, ask, please, for everybody to do this along with us, because hearing about it is just not very exciting, but doing it is where the rubber meets the road. So you can do this with your eyes opened or closed, depending on what's most comfortable for you, given where you are. I think it's a little deeper if you can do it with your eyes closed. And the first step is to simply place the palm of your hand over your heart. Now that simple act of putting your hand over your heart starts the release of a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin has been known as the love hormone because it's what we feel when we feel bonded and connected with each other. It's what mothers have when they breastfeed or when they're giving birth. It's what we have more of when we're making love. But just putting your hand over your heart starts the flow of more oxytocin in your system. So the second step is to imagine that you're breathing in and out through the center of your heart. So you can picture that or you can feel that. Just that your breath is coming in and out through your heart center. Feel what that would feel like or imagine. Imagine just feeling your breath coming in and out through your heart. And then the third step is on each in-breath, imagine that you're breathing in love, you're breathing in ease, you're breathing in compassion. And you can just imagine what that feels like, picture or just feel ease, love, and compassion as you breathe in. Your out-breath can just be normal, but on each in-breath, breathe in love, breathe in ease, breathe in compassion. We all know what that feels like, ease, compassion, love. And remember, just breathe out normally, but through on each in-breath, imagine breathing in through the center of your heart, breathing in love and ease and compassion. And on the next out-breath, you can open up your eyes if they were closed and take your hand down and just come back to where we are now. And that was about 2 minutes. So in that few minutes, Marie, how do you feel different now than you did a couple minutes ago?
There's a few things. Physically, I feel somewhat lighter. Like my head is not quite so heavy on my neck and my body. And I feel more open, if you want to talk like on a chakra level. Mm-hmm. I just feel more open from my heart and the center of my body. And also, I have to say that I didn't sleep the greatest last night, so I was a little bit... I'm very sensitive when I don't sleep, and so I was feeling a little bit sensitive, and I'm so glad that we did that, because now I feel I'm actually recording this for YouTube, and I'm wondering if people will be able to physically see the difference from like the smile on my face, and I just feel like my energy is taking up a bigger space now.
Fabulous. Well, my guess is that everyone who did this along with us is feeling some difference. Maybe not the same things that you felt. Some people just felt more relaxed or more centered. Some people may have had some warmth in their heart area. Some people have even reported that they feel like there's this liquid flow kind of going through their body. It doesn't matter what your specific experience was this one time. What does matter is if you do this, here's my recommendation, because doing it once is nice, but it doesn't really do much to change anything. But what will change things is if you do this 3 times a day, I recommend morning, afternoon, and evening, for a couple of minutes, within a couple of weeks, you will start to shift and live more of your life in the love response. And that's the idea. The idea is that we start to make a habit of going into the love response. So it's more and more our default state. And it's, you know, it may sound so simple, it's like, oh, come on, how could this do anything? But I've done this on probably 300 different interviews, and now all I have to do is put my hand up to my heart, and immediately the whole phenomenon starts. I get warmth in my heart. I feel warmth all over my body. I feel a wave of love coming over me. So it becomes really a habit, and that's the idea behind raising your love set point. Your love set point is like a thermostat setting, and you tend to, no matter what happens in your life, whether it's good or bad, you tend to return to that love set point unless you do something to change it. And this is one of the things that you can do to raise your thermostat, your love thermostat, so that you're living more in a state of love on an ongoing basis.
Yay. Well, thank you so much. I feel brighter already, and I'm going to get into the habit of doing it 3 times a day. Now, one of the things is I try to remember to practice mindfulness and everything like that, but I tend to forget. So do you have any tips on how to remind yourself to check in 3 times a day?
Okay. Well, one of the ways that you can do it is that we usually remember to eat, most people. And so one thing you can do is you can do this right before you sit down to eat, or right when you're sitting down, right before you eat, because what it does is it changes the whole digestive system. It allows you to digest your food a lot more easily. You can do this right after you eat, or you can set little alarms on your iPhone, or, you know, that's a simple way of doing it is, you know, every day at 9 and at 1 and at 5. You set these little alarms that remind you to go do this practice. So those are a couple of ways that you can do it.
Wonderful.
And you know what I love is you can do this when you're standing in line at the grocery store, or you can do this when you're sitting on the phone talking to somebody. Nobody even has to know that you're doing it.
That is a really good point. And especially if you're standing in line somewhere and you feel the tension and the annoyance of like the person's paying in pennies, that's a good time to do it.
A really good time to do it.
Wonderful. Well, it's time to take a break, so we will be back in just a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Marcy Shymoff. She is the author of the brand new book, Love for No Reason, 7 Doorways to a Life of Unconditional Love. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment. Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are speaking with Marcy Shymoff. She is the author of Love for No Reason, 7 Doorways to a Life of unconditional love, not just romantic love or love for your shoe collection, but true unconditional love.
And by the way, that kind of love makes even your shoe collection love better.
Yay. do you have, you, it sounds like you have an experience with the love of your shoe collection.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that, when you feel love, this kind of unconditional love, every other love is more juicy, even for the shoe collection.
Juicy. I love that word. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. So we're coming up to Valentine's Day, and love, it's whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, Valentine's Day is a loaded holiday. Why is the book coming out just before Valentine's Day?
Well, actually, Love for No Reason has been out for a year. It just came out in paperback, however.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's just brand new in paperback. And, you know, it's a perfect time because there are a lot of people who are single and not in relationship, and they have a really pretty crummy time oftentimes around Valentine's Day. And this book is addresses that because it helps you feel more self-love. And for people who are in relationships, it also helps because if people ask me what's the number one thing I can do to improve my relationship, I say raise your love set point because that's the key to it all. If you raise your love set point, your relationship will absolutely follow suit and be more filled with joy and love.
Beautiful. Well, I think that's going to answer this question already, but I want to put it out there because I did invite people on Twitter and Facebook to ask their questions. So one question came in from Romania, which is, what are the things that make you happy? And Vernon from Facebook asks, is true happiness more about being in control of your thoughts or letting go of your emotions?
Okay. So, I'm sure the reason they're asking the questions about happiness is because I wrote the book Happy for No Reason, which is 7 steps to being happy from the inside out. And the first question is, what makes me happy personally? Or what makes a person happy? I wasn't clear on that question.
It says, what are things that make you happy, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can answer that in a way that answers both of those questions. What I discovered in writing Happy for No Reason is that the things that I thought were going to make me happy didn't. And there's a reason for this. According to the research, we have a happiness set point. And just like I talked about a love set point, we have a happiness set point. No matter what happens to us, good or bad, we will hover around our happiness set point. So when good things happen to you, you're happier for a little while, and then it goes away. It just doesn't last. We get used to it, and it no longer really helps us be any happier. So the real key is to raise our happiness set point. And since I've done that, everything has changed. I mean, it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. You don't have to try to control anything in order to be happier, which brings us to the second question, which was, is it more important to control your thoughts or to let go of your emotions? My experience is that controlling anything doesn't work, including your thoughts. And so my approach to raising your happiness set point is very methodical. There are 7 main areas that you deal with. One of them is your thoughts, but it's not about controlling them. It's about actually letting go of the thoughts that don't serve you. And I have specific tools and techniques that work for that. But it's also about opening up your heart, letting love lead in your life. It has to do with your physical body, creating the right biochemistry of happiness or love, depending on which topic we're talking about. It has to do with feeling your purpose in life. It has to do with feeling connected to a greater spirit, your spiritual aspect of life, and also has to do with your relationships and who you're surrounding yourself with. So I really believe in a holistic approach to both happiness and love. When you look at all of those aspects and you really focus on specific keys here's the good news as far as I'm concerned. This is exciting news. Science has cracked the happiness code. We know what it takes to make you happier. I know specifically there are 21 habits that anybody can practice to raise their happiness set point. So as far as I'm concerned, this should be headline news. This is the thing we want more than anything. So this is why I'm very excited because, we don't have to change the world out there, we can change these specific habits of ours to experience more happiness or more love in our lives. So, you know, hip, hip, hooray for that.
So it sounds like the first thing people should do is go out and get both books, Happy for No Reason and Love for No Reason.
And you can go to the website, it's happyfornoreason.com or thelovebook.com, happyfornoreason.com or thelovebook.com. And on each of those sites are some wonderful free bonus gifts as well that you can get that will get you started on this experience of greater happiness and love.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much, Marcy. And we just have you for a few more minutes because you have a very busy day today. So thank you so much for taking the time out to be on Synchronicity. And you had mentioned there were three
techniques. So
yes.
Let me give you technique number two. Technique number one was the inner ease technique that we just did together. Technique number two, people always ask me, what's the fast track to greater happiness and love? And to me, there's one answer. And the answer is, forgiveness. We cannot experience more love in our lives when we are holding on to any kind of resentment or anger. So I'm going to share with you a technique that I love to use, and if you've got a paper and a pen, write these down. The technique is called Ho'oponopono, and the good news is it's a lot easier to do than it is to say. It's based on a Kahuna Hawaiian tradition of forgiveness, and it involves saying these four phrases internally in your heart. You don't even have to say them to the person that you're holding any anger towards. And it goes like this. They are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm going to repeat those. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And all you do is you sit and you feel those. You send those wishes towards the person or situation that you're feeling upset with. And you can also send them towards yourself because we certainly need forgiveness towards ourselves. And so let me just share with you a story of how I use that in my life. I've used it many times, but this is perhaps the most important story for me, most dramatic. About 3 years ago, my sister and I got in an argument, and we weren't talking to each other. And this had never happened in our family before, but it was, you know, she got mad at me for something. I didn't think I deserved it. I got mad back, and we didn't talk to each other. 3 months into this silence treatment, we gathered my whole family to move our mom from our family home of 58 years to assisted living, to an apartment. And the morning of the move, we all gathered at her new apartment to unpack her things. Well, I came in last, and I hugged and kissed everybody hello, except my sister. Didn't say a word to her. Ignored her the whole morning. It was really awkward because it was a very small apartment and I had to walk to the other side of the living room to avoid making eye contact with her. And after about 3 hours of this, I was so drained and so uncomfortable that I took a break and went to the car. And on my way to the car, I remembered Ho'oponopono. So I sat in my car and I sent those wishes towards her. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And I sent them towards myself as well because I had been mad at myself for my inability to let go. Well, after about 10 minutes, I felt a huge transformation. This wave of love came over me, and I felt all this compassion for my sister. I realized that she wasn't mad at me for what had happened just a few months earlier, but it was a lifetime of stuff and a whole way that I'd been with her that just, you know, didn't work for her, and I really understood it. So I went back into the apartment feeling very different, but I didn't say anything to anybody. Well, the most amazing thing happened. 3 minutes after being back, my sister came over to me out of the blue, took me by the hand and said, come on, let's go unpack Mom's closet together.
Well,
I was shocked. An hour later, we're at lunch, and she hands me across the table her baked potato. She says, here, Marcy, I know you like these more than I do. I was so shocked by this that I called my brother aside and I said, okay, what did you say to her while I was gone? And he said, I didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. We have no idea what happened. Well, that was the beginning of an entirely different relationship that I now have with my sister. And I can't tell you, it couldn't have happened at a better time because 9 months later, she and I found ourselves standing in that same closet of my mother's, but this time we were packing up her clothes because she had just passed away. And I can't imagine what that would have been like or what those 9 months would have been like had we held on to that old feeling. And this changed my life. I mean, my sister literally is, I'm moving right now, and she's on her way to my house having driven 4 hours this morning to help me in my packing. And it's just, the reason I tell this story is that I know that everybody here on this listening to this interview has had someone or something in their life for whom they need more forgiveness. And so I ask you, don't take my word for it. Try this as an experiment in your own life and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing the Ho'oponopono technique and also the story, because I think it really solidifies how important it is to really experience forgiveness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know I promised you three. Are you ready for a third?
Sure. Do you have time? We've got about 2 minutes. Okay.
Okay. So I'll do a really short one. Earlier we talked about how important it is for self-love. This is a simple exercise. Again, I suggest that you do it 3 times a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and once in the evening, and it's simply ask this question. What's the most loving thing I can do for myself right now? Simple question. What's the most loving thing I can do for myself right now? And sometimes your answer is going to be, I can go get a glass of water, or I can go get some fresh air. Sometimes the answer is going to be, I can do Ho'oponopono, or I can just stop talking to myself so negatively. You know, it's going to vary. But the important thing is that you ask the question and that you stop and pay attention and do the answer. Because we haven't paid enough attention to ourselves and our own needs. And one of the biggest ways that we can shift our own energy is by being present and taking care of ourselves by asking that question. And if you think it's selfish, I can tell you it's the least selfish thing that you can do, because when you shift your energy, it helps your family, it helps your friends, it helps your community, and ultimately, it helps the world.
I love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing those tips with us today. Thank you for writing the book, Love for No Reason, because I do truly agree that it impacts on a global scale.
It really, really does. You know, if I can, I always like to share this as a closing comment. I know we don't have much time left with that I'm here, but it's a Chinese proverb that sums up my philosophy, and it goes like this. When there is light and love in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. And my prayer and my wish for each of us is that we feel the light and the love in our own hearts and souls, and through that, we help create more peace here on this planet of ours.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcy. And again, where can people contact you?
So thelovebook.com, www.thelovebook.com, and there's some fabulous free bonus gifts on there, including a whole amazing download of a meditation. There's on love. There's also a hour-long interview on how you can use the emotional freedom technique, or EFT. It's also known as tapping, for greater self-love. So all of these are free at thelovebook.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Marcy. Well, I know that you've got other commitments today, so I will let you go. I don't want to take up any more of your precious time, but thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to be with you, and for everyone who's listening. You know, I don't think it's an accident that you happen to be listening to this. There was something in your heart, in your soul, that called you to hear this today, and I consider you to be one of the love ambassadors in the world. One, you know, this world is going to shift through all of us shifting into the vibration of love. So thank you for joining me with this and for inviting me here, Marie.
Thank you so much, Marcy. Have a fabulous day. And yes, love ambassadors. Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So that was Marcy Shymoff. She is the author of Love for No Reason, 7 Doorways to a Life of Unconditional Love. And I love what she said about being a love ambassador and how when you start to experience unconditional love for yourself, then you're able to experience unconditional love for others, and that energy, that love emanates and goes out into the world, and it really does make a difference. All it takes is one person to start this, and then the next person that you interact with, they feel more loving and more loved, and it just spreads that way. And it's so exciting. I feel all tingly right now. So I am going to play some music for the rest of the hour, but this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thank you again to Marcy Shymoff. That was so much fun. And we'll be back with...
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance. Get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we have Lisa Nichols on the line. She is from the movie The Secret and author of No Matter What, 9 Steps to Living the Life You Love. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your patience. I'm in transit, and you know technology, it works wonderful when it works.
Well, I'm so glad you could be with us for the second half of the show. Thank you, Lisa. I'll just jump right in since we don't have a lot of time left. But you are doing a Canada-wide tour right now and speaking in Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver. And
yes.
So this is it's like a tour for specifically for women, correct?
Actually, it's for women and men, but well, the message is for both women and men. But yes, we're all focusing on empowering women, teaching women how to stand and stay in your power, how to move through times like this, you know, with peace and grace, how to become laser focused on the next season of your life, and how to say no matter what, how to take on a no matter what mindset, push past your limiting beliefs, push past those fear-based conversations that have a tendency to drive us, and really step and stay in our power. So I'm excited for the women of Canada and the people of Canada.
Awesome. So do you have any advice for times like this when there's technical difficulties? I was ready to cry, Lisa.
Oh, no. You know, it's to say no matter what, to say make it happen, to know that, you know, that we get to at some point rise above the circumstance. You know, to me, I say when you say no matter what, you know, you remove every other option off the table. And I couldn't get a line out, and no one can get a line into me, but I'm like, no matter what. So I have two people in the car with me, and I was going to use anyone's phone that could get to you. So I'm glad that we got to be together.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and I hope to see you in Vancouver.
Yes, I will be there, and so will two lucky listeners.
Wonderful. Well, I can tell you, for the listeners that come, get ready to be transformed. When I tell you, this evening together is one of those rocket booster evenings where you begin to release the things, the worries, the doubts, the concerns, the fears, all of those things that are holding you back, and you begin to step into another sense of power. When we did the United States tour, just kind of throughout the United States and going around, it was just so incredible, the results. People said, I got more laser focus. I got, you know, I recommitted to my relationship in a new way. I was able to find the employment that I wanted. My children are getting along better. When I tell you, we're going to take you through some experiences that night, it's not just conversation. I actually will do some experiential learning with you, which means you'll do some things in that room that will help to create the shift that you're looking for. And so it's just transformational. I encourage everyone who's listening, make it a priority to be with us. Make it a priority for yourself, really for yourself. If you said 2009 is my year and I need to make it happen, and I need to make it happen before the year is over, then come join us. Allow me to support you with that.
Awesome. So that's going to be in Toronto on October 23rd, Calgary on October 28th, and here in Vancouver on October 30th. And keep listening. At the very end of the show, I'm going to give away a pair of free tickets. But I want to see a packed house in Vancouver. It's actually in Burnaby, but I want to see a packed house because it's so important that when speakers come to Vancouver that we fill the house because, you know, this is a rare opportunity to have you here in Canada. I mean, you do most of your touring in the States.
Yes, well, I do international touring, but of course not as much. And I'm about to start the Lisa Nichols Show in December on WE TV, Women's Entertainment Television. It premieres on December 8th. And so once I start doing television, it'll be a little more challenging to travel. So you're absolutely right. Come out. If you're in Vancouver, you have family in Toronto, you have family in Calgary, send them out so that they can be inspired, encouraged. And really, it can be one of those defining moments where your life just takes a shift. You have no idea what can happen unless you come out. And you're absolutely right. I don't get to Canada nearly enough. Canada is so wonderful to me. When I come, people are there. They're there in the groves. They're there with love. Canada has been one of my favorite places to play. And so I hope that if you're listening, if you know someone who can use some inspiration, if you can use some inspiration, some extra juice, you know, some extra love, some extra encouragement, and some valuable content, then please come out and join us.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, Lisa, I want to ask you now, you have a history of abuse and you've even spent a night in jail. And, you know, why is it that some people who've grown up with abuse end up to be Lisa Nichols or Oprah Winfrey and other people can barely function daily? What's the difference?
You know, I won't minimize it to one statement, but I will tell you this. That throughout my entire journey, getting to this point wasn't an option. So when I talk in the book about no matter what, and no matter what is not just a sexy phrase or a cliche, it really is a mindset, it's a choice. So when I spent 27 hours in jail, my success, my getting to this point was still non-negotiable. When I was choked until I passed out by my then fiance, when I came conscious, I didn't waver on who I had decided to become. So when you ask what's the difference, I would say there are a number of different factors, but one of the underlying factors, the soil, you know, the fertilizer, and with someone like me or Oprah Winfrey, and thank you for putting us in the same sentence, I'm grateful, and someone like Martin Luther King, is that our goals are non-negotiable. We took any other option off the table other than hitting that mark. We said no matter what. So you can throw anything at us. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to measure my success based on my level of drama. I'm not going to measure what I'm worthy of based on what I've gone through. What I'm worthy of is non-negotiable, and I'm going after that. I'm going after peace. I'm going after bliss. I'm going after financial freedom. I'm going after physical, you know, healthiness, no matter what. So you can throw anything at us. We said no matter what. So what I love about that, though, is that anyone listening to my voice right now, you can begin to take the steps to take on a no matter what mindset, because until you do, it's still negotiable at some level. It says I really want that goal until it really gets hard or until it's too much for me to deal with. When you make it non-negotiable, you say I'm going after it, and I'm willing to deal with my demons. I'm willing to get back up. I'm willing to crawl, walk, or run, but I'm going after it. And so I think it starts with a decision, a crazy decision rooted in your gut. And sometimes we need help getting back to that type of conviction, which is why I'm coming to Canada.
Awesome, awesome. Well, there's 9 steps to living the life you want in your book. Can we quickly go over what the 9 steps are?
Yes, we can go over what the 9 steps are in the book. One of the things that I did was I wanted to, I call them muscles. I call them muscles because immediately I wanted people to understand that you need to build these muscles. These are not just statements. This is something you need to build. So the first one is your understanding muscle, your ability to see the gift that may have come wrapped in sandpaper, I like to say. The second is your faith in myself muscle, being willing to be your best cheerleader, pressing stop on your negative self-talk, and pressing play on your powerful. But you got to press stop on your negative self-talk. And then the third muscle is your take action muscle. Most of us talk about the life we love, we think about the life we love, and we plan the life we love, but we are not in action about it, and it's time for us to get in action. And then the next muscle is your I know like I know like I know muscle. And that muscle is so important because that's the muscle that allows you to walk through murky times like this. When you can't quite see the outcome that you want, you just have to know it's there, and your job is to keep moving until you get to it. And so that's your I know like I know muscle. And then the next muscle is your honesty muscle. And I'm not saying, like, tell the truth. I'm saying tell the truth out loud even when it hurts. That's that truth that you just mentioned, me spending the night in jail. I'd never told that story before, and I realized if I'm going to go to the next level, I need to not be ashamed of any part of my past. Cut the shackles attached to shame, blame, guilt, regret, and anger, and just say, this is my journey. This is my story, and I'm okay with it because I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm enough. The next muscle is your say yes muscle, and that's the ability to say yes to the bigger things. You know, the things that make your knees knock and your teeth chatter, the things that make you get a little nervous. I got it. The things that make you get a little nervous, the things that say, oh my God, can I be that person? Can I do that thing? Can I play that big? And I got to tell you, I said yes plenty of times with my knees knocking and my teeth chattering. I said yes to chicken soup with my knees knocking and my teeth chattering. I said yes to The Secret with my knees knocking and my teeth chattering. Why? Because I didn't quite understand exactly what I was saying yes to, but I knew I was saying yes to something bigger than me. The next muscle is your determination muscle, and that's being willing to get to your mountaintop no matter what, doing whatever it takes. Some days you're going to run, some days you're going to walk, and some days you're going to crawl, but just keep moving. You can move like an eagle soar through the air. You can move like a snail. It doesn't matter. Determination is saying, I'm going to keep moving. Then the next one is one of the most precious ones. That's your forgiveness muscle, flexing your forgiveness muscle. That's giving yourself permission to evict any anger, any resentment that's in your body so that it doesn't take up that precious real estate in your heart and soul, so that you realize that forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. You're not pardoning their behavior. You're not approving their behavior. You're not condoning it. You're not making them right. Forgiving is saying, I want all of me available for my next season. I want all of me available for my next blessing. And so I need to release and let go. And then your highest choice muscle. Sometimes we get so consumed looking at the details of how we're going to do it that we forget to look up at the horizon as to what we want our legacy to say, what we want our life statement to say, what we want our what we want the story about our life to say. And so those are the nine muscles.
Awesome. So you mentioned in that you were scared to do The Secret, but you went and did it anyway.
Yes.
So how did you go from being a single mom, just starting out with your own business, to becoming Lisa Nichols on The Secret, traveling around the world? How did that come about?
You know, what's funny is that I've been interviewed about 94 times in the last 14 weeks. And that's one of the most consistent questions. And there wasn't a moment in time. There wasn't I got the big break. You know, we all are looking for the big break. It wasn't like that. It was, as a single mom, I just put my elbows up and my chin down, and I just worked really hard. And I know this is going to sound kind of cliche-ish, but I really did take every other option off the table. I didn't know it would be The Secret. I didn't know it would be Oprah. But I did know that it was going to be helping and inspiring millions, because that was the only option I gave myself. I want to help and inspire millions. I may do it 10 at a time, and it may take me the next 50 years, but I'm going to do it. And so, it's that story of what you do. I got up every day. I kept looking for the light instead of the dark. I kept looking for what was possible instead of what wasn't possible. I just kept getting up and kept doing it. And do you know, when they called me for The Secret, and I was at an event, she said, we really would like for you to do it. I kind of looked up and said, really, me? And she said, yeah, I heard about your work. Well, what happened was I was busy producing results in the world, not trying to get on the next Secret. I was busy transforming lives and working with teenagers and working with, adults and working with hurt women and working with lost men and working with entrepreneurs, so much so that my results preceded me. And when they began to look for people for The Secret, they already had me on the list.
That's so awesome. So I think the moral of that is not, because I noticed a lot of people are working so hard to get noticed,
right.
and that's
right.
like their,
right.
oh, my dream is to be on Oprah.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
no, you get on Oprah by...
Right, right. Oh, you got it. Oh, my God. That's so it. I tell people, if your goal is to get on Oprah, it's going to be very empty, because once you did it, now what? Now what? When Oprah's team called me, it was so funny. I was so busy working on a workshop for about 250 teenagers. I was really working to make it a great workshop. And that when they called, they said, hi, Mr. This is Harpo, Inc. And I said, Harpo, that sounds familiar. She said, Oprah? I said, oh, yeah. Oprah, how are you doing? And that wasn't to play them down or anything, but it really was, I was busy really doing the work. I was busy making the work happen. And so, you know, everyone's waiting on that Oprah call. But when I got the Oprah call, I had to kind of go, okay, because it didn't fit inside my program or what I was doing that weekend.
So you had to reschedule Oprah?
I didn't reschedule them. Thank God they wanted me to come on in 7 days because I probably would have said, is there another time? Or maybe not. Maybe would have squeezed some things around. But in terms of being focused on waiting on the Oprah call, no. And I love what you said. Be busy serving people. Be busy transforming lives. Get busy doing what you're great at. Doing what you're passionate about, doing what you love, or doing what you're good at. Get busy in service, because service is going to attract attention. When you move for attention, you're not going to attract attention. You're going to attract resistance. You're going to attract chaos. You're going to attract, you know, I can't get it soon enough, fast enough. That's because you're not supposed to pursue the marketing. You're supposed to do the good deed, and the deed will go noticed. It won't go unnoticed. It'll go noticed. People ask me, how is it that your life looks like this? I said, because as of June of 2008, we have transformed the life of my company of over 210,000 teens. We've prevented on record over 3,053 teen suicides. No one ever knows about that work, because that's not the secret. But I believe that energy has gone out in the universe, that the work I do in the gymnasiums and the work I do in the church basements and the work I do in the psychology rooms of the high schools that no one ever sees, where there are no lights and cameras, that work sends out a great energy. That work sends out a great piece of service that then calls the secret to me, then calls Oprah, then calls Larry King. And so I believe it. Yeah, you're right. You want to attract people in your life. You want to attract the accolades. Go out and do the good work.
That I couldn't have said it better myself. And so you talk a lot about action, which is awesome, because a lot of people who have seen the movie The Secret get the idea in their head that all they have to do is wish and hope for what they want and think nice fluffy thoughts and it will come. And that's part of it, but that's not the whole package.
Oh, my God, that's so not the whole package. I was just on a talk show the other night where this woman didn't believe in positive thinking, and her position was positive thinking is a hoax, and people say think positive, just dream about it, and it'll manifest. And I was supposed to be on the show as an opposition to her, and they were ready. They kind of set her up and had her talk, and then they set me up with, Lisa, what do you disagree with? And I think I kind of diffused the whole debate, because I said, well, actually, there are some parts, while I do disagree, there's some parts that I agree with what she said. I said, it's not enough to set your intention. You have to set your intention so you visualize what you want. You get clear on what you want. I knew I wanted to transform lives. I knew I wanted to heal, encourage, and inspire people. And then you have to get into action. You have to get into action. You set a goal, and then you set some big milestones to let you know that you're on route to that goal. Then you set a bunch of little action steps to get you to the milestone so that the milestone can get you to the goals. You have to be busy about what you say you want to produce in the world. I say the law of attraction is great, but it's not until the law of attraction meets the law of no matter what. And no matter what is when you are committed and dedicated to action with whomever, wherever, however. When you're tired, you get up early, you go to bed late, you do whatever you have to do to make it happen, because you said no matter what. It's when those two laws are working in tandem with one another that life begins to transform.
Awesome. So, Lisa, we just have a few more minutes left in the show. I want to ask, because I think it's really important, about the section of your book, I Am Not Alone, because I think what holds a lot of people back in achieving their goals is that feeling of aloneness and not, like, nobody knows what I'm going through type of feelings. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, the number one reason for depression is that people feel alone. That's the number one reason for depression. And there's so many undiagnosed states of depression. So that's the largest diagnosis is depression. And many, many people are not diagnosed with it. And the number one reason why they feel depressed is that they feel alone. And the number one reason, unfortunately, that people commit suicide is that they feel alone. No one gets them. And so I put those boxes in that book, in No Matter What, because I wanted people to understand wherever you are not alone. There's one thing you're going to get out of this book. And what I love is that when people come together in Vancouver, they come together in Toronto and Calgary, people are going to bring their books for me to autograph. And I'm going to say, how many of you guys checked two boxes on this one? And then when they raise their hand, I'm going to have them look around the room at the other hands that are up. And if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to. But what the loveliness that happens there is that we get to see we're all in one community, that even the most powerful people you think have doubts. We have worries. We're figuring it out. We've gotten it all wrong before we got it all right. And when we get to see we're not alone, then we can become a community of moving forward, a community of healing, a community of progression, a community of just possibility. I think that when I know I'm in a space with someone else, you don't have to carry my burden, and I'm not going to carry yours, but there's just this feeling of village, of camaraderie, when I know I'm not in it by myself. So that was very important for me. My publishers didn't quite understand those boxes. They didn't get it, and I was okay for them not to get it. More than anything, I wanted my readers to understand it and feel. And I've gotten such great feedback on, man, those boxes are really cool. But one thing happens is they don't want people to read their books because they don't want anyone else to see the boxes they check. So people are going out and saying, I got to get another book for my mom because I don't want her to see my boxes, which is good. I mean, it's your own personal navigation to see where am I as it relates to this. And so, you know, I just believe I spent a lot of my life around people, but I felt alone. So I wanted to create a community where we know that we have company.
Wonderful. Awesome. So it looks like we have a call on the line. Can we take a call from a listener?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, CITR. You're on the air. We'll have to make it quick.
I'm sorry. I was calling for Lisa Nichols.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh. What's your question?
Okay, I was just really excited about the show in Vancouver and just wanted to get an overview of what you might be speaking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So tell me your name.
It's Leanne.
Leanne. Leanne, I'm going to, that evening, I'm going to talk about how to break past any limiting beliefs you have. I'm going to talk about what does it mean to step into the next level of your life. Most of us are playing at 70%. And what I know is that we want to play at 100%. So I'm going to decrease that margin so that you can fill in that other 30%. Another thing I'm going to do that night is really allow you to look at some of the thoughts that cause you to get still, not move forward as fast, not move forward as much, and allow you to begin to overcome that. I'm also going to put you in an exercise that will make you feel as if you have left the floor, make you feel as if you are elevated. When I say that, it's such a heightened sense of experience in terms of accelerated energy, accelerated results, accelerated excitement. And then I have this other exercise that I do where I have you do it with some of the people that are in the room so that you feel this sense of support, this sense of community, this sense of power. There's so much that's going to go on. Most of it I can't even explain to you because it would sound so incredible that you probably wouldn't even get it in this short period of time that we have. But what I can tell you this, is at the end of the night, you come to me and you let me know if you have had a transformation, and I believe you will. I believe in everything in my soul. You would have had a breakthrough that night, and that's what we're going for. We're going to produce breakthroughs.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Can't wait.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in. I love breakthroughs. Whoops. Sorry about that. I love breakthrough evenings, and it's great when you go to see a speaker and you're totally transformed. And it sounds like that's what it's going to be. So Toronto on October 23rd, Calgary on October 28th, and in Vancouver on October 30th. And I have free tickets to give away at the end of the show, which is just in a couple of minutes here. So, Lisa, we've got just about a minute left in the show. Is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with? Thank you, first of all, for being here. I know it was a little rough getting started, but I'm so glad that we had a chance to speak.
Absolutely. And I want to ask if I don't have, because I'm driving, I don't have the website. If you can offer the website as well. The last thing I want to say is the rest of your life, the first day of the rest of your life begins today. And when I come to Canada, the first day of the rest of your life and the first day of the best part of your life will begin when we come together. I can guarantee you that. My life is a result of one breakthrough after another. And in Canada, in all three of those cities, we're going to have one breakthrough after another. And it begins with you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to seeing you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What's the website again? Just so
it's newaspiration.com.
Newaspirations.com. Yes, I've been sending that out to all of my friends. I'm looking forward to seeing my friends that I've seen before in Canada come up and hug me, remind me that we've been together before. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of my new friends. There's a positive energy that's waiting to wrap around you. And I'm excited to wrap you in my arms, hug you, love you, and inspire you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. You as well. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you. So that was Lisa Nichols from the movie The Secret. She is the author of the book No Matter What, 9 Steps to Living the Life You Love, and she is doing a Canada-wide tour. So if you want to get tickets for that, you can go to newaspiration.com. For
Calgary. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy?
My name's Chris Horrific.
We always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude, we get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Yes, Radio.
Carnaval del Sol, an outdoor Latin fiesta at Concord Pacific Place, is returning on July 9th and 10th. Pack your summer colorful clothes and come eat, play, and live Latin America. Carnaval del Sol is a two-day festival featuring 250 musicians and traditional folk dancers, a culinary show, a World Mini Cup Series soccer tournament, a fashion show, mini chef for kids, Latin American food vendors, and a beer garden. Bring the family and friends. Entrance is free. Enjoy life with Carnaval del Sol on July 9th and 10th at Concord Pacific Place.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.